You can please turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in your New Testament. Second Timothy. You just find Thessalonians and you can go there to the right and you'll run right into Timothy. If you go to Titus or Philemon, Peter, you've gone too far, but try to find right there. We'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've gotten a few strange looks since coming into the church today. But I got the strangest look, honestly, from my own daughter. I didn't tell Caroline or the kids I was going to shave my beard just because I was going to do something different. When I walked down in that room, she looked at me like, "Who are you?" And I said, "Honey, I shaved my beard." She said, "Go get it." I said, "Honey, it's in the trash can. Go get it." She said, "Oh, me." Kind of freaked her out, I think. But anyway, it is what it is. But we're looking forward to a good week this week. As Brother Arthur said, I'd just like to reiterate, even if you hadn't signed up for anything, a lot of times just coming here on campus and just being here for a little bit. If you couldn't be here the whole time, just to come and observe and encourage, join in prayer. We certainly appreciate any participation in that. And we have all kinds of things going on. One night you would want to come, if you're coming for mere entertainment, will be water night. That'll be Wednesday night. The local fire department brings a fire truck out, and they put the big 100, whatever it is, huge tarp. I think it's a 60 by 100, but they get out there and play games with the teens, and the young ones I have a good opportunity to. So it's a lot of fun all week, and I tell that's what I love about Bible time and VBS is you have a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work, but you also get to see a lot of spiritual battles fought. And you get to see the Lord work in hearts and bring people to Himself. And so we thank the Lord for that. Well, you found your place there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 5 is what I would like to, 3 through 5. But I'm just going to begin in verse 1. You can kind of get the heartbeat of Paul as he's writing to Timothy. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Church, the theme of this year's VBS is chosen to be a soldier. And as we look at that context of Paul writing to this young pastor about his responsibility and his calling to be a soldier, I want you to know this morning, if you are a Christian and you have considered yourself born again and have seen the Lord do a work of salvation in your life, I want you to know, if you don't know already, you are a soldier of Jesus Christ. He has called you. He has chosen you to do a work for Him. The work of the gospel is an offensive work. It's on the offense. We're moving forward for God and for His glory. And so as soldiers, we think about this context of our lives today. And I pray by the end of the message that you will ask yourself the question and be very honest with yourself. Am I a good soldier? Because that is exactly what Paul told Timothy to be, a good soldier. In the early dawn of June 6, 1944. Army medic Ray Lambert's medical unit landed with the first assault wave at Omaha Beach, where German troops were especially well armed, well fortified, and well prepared. Drenched, weary, and seasick from the nighttime channel crossing and rough seas, the GIs faced daunting odds. Pre-dawn aerial bombardments had landed uselessly far from their targets. Naval gunfire support had ended. Amphibious tanks were sinking before they reached land. Many of the landing craft were swamped by high waves, drowning most of their men. Soldiers charged forward in chest-deep waters, weighed down by as much as 90 pounds of ammunition and equipment. As they came ashore, they faced withering machine gun, artillery, and mortar fire. In the opening minutes of battle, by one estimate, 90% of the frontline GIs in some companies were killed or wounded. Within hours, casualties mounted into the thousands. Lambert was wounded twice that morning, but was able to save well more than a dozen lives thanks to his bravery, skill, and presence of mind. Impelled by instinct, training, and a profound sense of responsibility for his men, he rescued many from drowning, bandaged many others, shielded wounded men behind the nearest steel barrier or lifeless body, and administered morphine shots, including one for himself to mask the pain of his own wounds. Ray Lambert was indeed a good soldier of the U.S. Army, who was awarded the Bronze Star and Purple Heart for his heroic actions. Ray and countless of his fellow soldiers gave their all that day while serving the United States of America. And I think about their honor this morning, and I think about how grateful I am. But as we stand here in the Lord's house, as we stand here together as believers in the Most High God, I'd like to ask this question. How much more should we as soldiers of Jesus Christ give all for Him in this life? I want to talk about what it takes to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You are either actively serving this morning your Savior, if you know Him as Savior, or you are either AWOL, absent without leave. There are no other two options. God is saying that He is calling His soldiers to be all in. And my friends, we know that the Lord is calling us forth to a great battle that is worthy to fight. Let me share with you some characteristics of a good soldier found in our passage. Number one, I would like us to see that a characteristic of a good soldier is one who is unmoved by the hardships of life. If you're taking notes, number one, it is one who is unmoved by the hardships of life. We see that in verse 3. You could also call this point perseverance. That is a quality, a characteristic that every Christian must have. It has to do with the endurance of the soldier. You know what Paul is saying in essence? Notice there in verse number 3. He says, "There thou therefore endure hardness." That word there, that as you look at the Greek word, it gives a clear understanding that when Paul was saying this, there's a word there that in Greek that stands for together. And so when Paul makes this statement, Paul is saying, Timothy, join together with me and all the other Christian soldiers who are battling in this warfare that we're called to. Paul's not saying you're alone. Paul is saying, no, you join with me. Join with others. And that's what we do as believers. We join together in the battle. You know, there's hard times in the Christian life. Some of you may be facing some of the hardest times in your life at this very moment. It's obvious that we cannot avoid hardships. In fact, it's a part of a soldier's life. You talk to any man or woman who has served in our U.S. military or any other country, and they will share with you the hardships they've been in as soldiers. Well, as Christians, we too share that same testimony. hard days, heavy burdens, heated battles, and etc. I remember the commanding officer of the training center at Cape May, New Jersey, when I showed up there on my first day in boot camp. And I remember after they finished yelling at us and scaring us half to death, after we got off the bus, we went into this room and we were all still. And of course, at that time, this is the first day. There's tension on deck, and we learn quickly what that means. It means the captain or the officer in charge is coming into the room. And tension on deck, you stand up at attention. And I remember that. He said, "Captain on deck." And he came in, and he was the commanding officer of the whole center. And he kind of came to the front, and he started pacing back and forth with his hands behind his back, looking at us. And he said, "Listen to me. I have three promises I want to make to you this evening." And he looked at each of us and he went on to say, and one of the first things that he told us out of his mouth, he says, "I will make you a promise." He says, "First, this will be hard." But what he said next is this: "Don't be afraid of that." And he was letting us know there as boot campers, as boots, he was letting us know that not to be afraid of that. He was instilling character right there at the very beginning. And he went on to say this: "Change is difficult, but if you give us your all, we will prove to you that you can do more than you ever thought yourself capable of." And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you this morning, if we will look to the Lord and realize the hardships that we're going to go through, it is actually God Himself going to use those hardships to bring us to a place to do what we never even dreamed we would do for His glory. And I take that as an illustration of my Lord calling us to the hardships. There are believers here this morning who no doubt have gone through heartbreaking situations in life. And here you are in your place as a good and faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. That cannot be said by some believers this morning who have met with hardships and they got bitter and they got hurt. They got knocked down and they just said, "I don't want anything to do with it." But my friend, I want to commend you. You're here. You're in your place. You're saying, "God, I want you. And though this is difficult, and though I've been through it, Lord, I want to be a soldier who does not quit." On November 14th, 1965, a group of Army soldiers were trapped and overcome by the enemy in the mountains of Vietnam. Army Captain Ed Freeman was dropping the soldiers off that realized after returning to the staging area, all helicopter operations into the landing zone were shut down. The commanding officer who was on site of being surrounded called off all medevac operations. So upon that call that he got, there was back at the staging area where the commanding officer was. His name was Army Major Bruce Crandall. He called for a volunteer at that time after these have all been canceled because of the intense fire that was coming in. He said this: "I need a volunteer to fly back. I need a volunteer to fly back with me to help." And Freeman, Ed Freeman, was the only one that raised his hand. He said for him, it wasn't an option. Freeman would go on to land in the hot zone under enemy fire no less than 21 times. He was also in a Huey that was unarmed. He flew more than 70 wounded soldiers to safety. They asked, "Why would you do that?" He said, "I'm going to pick them up because I'm the one that put them there." Freeman explained in a Library of Congress interview that he knew he had to do it, even though it was one of the hardest things he ever did in his life. You know, the Christian life at times feels like we're being shot at, church, from every direction. But I want to tell you, it's no time to retreat. They will fly. But my friends, it's by you and me deciding this morning, no matter what the devil throws at us, no matter the challenges and the hardships and the heartbreaks, giving up is not an option. We know that He is worthy. And if we have to get wounded in the process, He's worthy of those wounds. At the end of the day, a Freeman had been shot 3 times. Flying in that Huey, picking up those injured soldiers under enemy fire. It was a hardship, but He did it and He saved lives. My friends, I'm telling you this morning, we need to ask ourselves, are you a good soldier who refuses to quit? Are you disgruntled or embittered by some hurt that you've had, some experience that you've had? Where's your heart this morning? I think about the words of Hezekiah when he was being faced by the Assyrians. He told the children of Israel to try to encourage them and fire them up. He said, be strong and courageous. He said, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. I think about the characteristic of a good soldier as one who will be unmoved by the hardships of life. That's what he says there in our text. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Number two, notice with me, second characteristic is one who is unhindered by the distractions of life. By the distractions of life. This is a characteristic of devotion to duty. This has to do with the focus of the soldier. Notice what it says there in your text. No man that warreth. That word warreth is one that goes to war. One who is active duty. Entangleth himself. This word entangleth himself carries the idea of being enwoven or twisted or caught up. And this type of warfare in this day, in this age, it was common, of course, for the man to have some sort of sword as he went to battle. And it was imperative that he would have his sword and weapon in a place where he would not be hindered in getting it out and using it. In our day and age, if we wanted to make a current day illustration, it might be making sure our weapons are prepared and ready to be used at any given moment, but also when it gets jammed. How we can give that weapon the attention it needs to so it doesn't become impeded by something in our life. And this word affairs here is just talking about civil life. Things going on in our lives, in everyday life. And I like what one author said about this. One author said about this particular verse. He said, this holy detachment does not make the Christian culturally, politically, or economically irrelevant. The idea is not to look away from the issues of the day, but to look beyond them to Christ who is eternally, eternally relevant. I think that's a great balance, don't you? Because what happens in many times in our day, we get tangled up with the issues of life. And we end up hindering our influence and impact for Christ because we lose what our number one calling is as soldiers of the cross. A former police officer tells of the tactics of roving bands of thieves. They enter the store as a group. One or two separate themselves from the group, and the others start a loud commotion in another section of the store. This grabs the attention of the clerks and customers. As all eyes are turned to the disturbance, the accomplices fill their pockets with merchandise and cash, leaving before anyone suspects. Hours, sometimes even days later, the victimized merchant realizes things are missing and calls the police, but by that time, it's too late. And listen, as good soldiers, ladies and gentlemen, we have to remain our focus because the devil is a professional at distracting us. He will bring things into our life to deter us from the main focus of life, from the main mission of life, and he does a great job of it. He will cause a commotion here, debate here, over here there's controversies. He likes us to focus on those things because what does that do, church? It deters us from the mission. And we have to look at everything in life with Jesus Christ and His eternal redemptive plan in plain view. Cannot let that get blurred. We cannot let that go to the side at all. It has to be right in front, full view. Because if we don't, we'll get distracted. We don't want to get entangled with the affairs of this life. I'm not here to chase any rabbits, but I just ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it in your life right now that's entangling you? It's causing you to lose focus from being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. G.K. Chesterton's, he was a great writer and he professed Christ, but he had a great mind. And he was so preoccupied that he frequently forgot to keep appointments. In fact, he relied on his wife in all practical matters. Once, on a lecture tour, he sent her the following telegram. This is back in the day, of course. He sent this telegram to his wife. "Am in Birmingham. Where ought I to be?" She wired back, "Home." It's the truth, folks. Sometimes we can get so preoccupied with things that really don't matter in light of eternity. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, this morning, we can remain focused if we will let the Lord teach us not to be unhindered. Teach us not to be hindered and entangled with the affairs of this life. Hebrews 12:1 admonishes Christians to, you remember that verse that says, lay aside every weight and every sin that doth easily beset us. You remember that verse? Well, I find it interesting that the first part of that verse does not mention that weight is a sin. It says, lay aside every weight. Many times those weights are simple distractions that create enormous drag. One preacher illustrated it this way. It's perfectly legal to run a race in army boots. He said it wasn't wise and would guarantee failure, but you can legally do it. And you know, many of the things that prevent spiritual growth and development are legal. They just don't lead to success. They impede my devotion to duty. So what you and I need to be honest before God as soldiers saying, Lord, what is it that's not necessarily sin in my life, but it's a weight that's hindering me from growing the way you want me to? And God will answer that. And God will give you clarity. He will give me clarity. Are you a good soldier who is walking unimpeded from the mission God has called you to? Identify those weights, brethren, and lay them aside for the glory of God. Number three, we see the third characteristic of a good soldier. Not only is his perseverance and his devotion to duty, but thirdly, it's his honor. He is unashamed of being called a soldier. Look at the second part of verse number 4 of our text. He says that he may please him, that's Jesus Christ, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This has to do with the honor of being a soldier. This is an honorable position because God Almighty chose you for it. Don't take that lightly, brethren. Be encouraged by that. I can't ever recall being ashamed of putting on my Coast Guard uniform when I was in the service. I was not ashamed of my enlistment, my mission, and the code of honor. There were times, sadly, that I think I brought shame upon the Coast Guard. It was because of my doings and some of the things I didn't do. But I will say this, I was never ashamed of what the Coast Guard stood for, what its mission was, what its honor was about. And my friends, by way of spiritual application, we must also realize that there is no shame in being a soldier of Jesus Christ. It is an honorable position. And many Christians go out in the world today and they're ashamed of their uniform, if I can use that term. They're ashamed of their identity with Jesus Christ, and they don't talk about Him. They don't share Him. They don't live Him out. They don't take a stand for Him when they have an opportunity to speak, and when they have an opportunity to stand, and they're just not good soldiers. But God help His church to be good soldiers who are not prideful and arrogant and trying to be think we're better than someone else, but that people of God who are confident in the position that God has given us as soldiers. Not to lose sight of the identity He has given us in Christ. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 4:1, "Therefore the prisoner of the Lord." How about that? "Therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Worthy of the position. That's what we're called to do. You know what the Christian motto ought to be in everything we do? I believe it ought to be this: please God. Please God. That should be the motto, because that's what the verse says, does it not? In verse 4 it says that He may what? Him. Please Him. What does that mean? I don't know about you, but in my mind, y'all can criticize me if you want, but I envision God smiling. I envision my God smiling, being pleased when I walk as a good soldier. His heart is pleased. He can be grieved. He can be pleased. And I do. I want my life to be pleasing to Him. I don't want to let Him down. And I think about this aspect of pleasing God. I heard one time this quote: there are always two options on the shelf in life. It's please God or please self. Please God or please self. And so what we have to do constantly is to evaluate our hearts. Lord, what I'm doing right now, is this pleasing You or is this pleasing self? And ask the Holy Spirit to help you in areas that may just be uncertain. He'll help you. He'll show you. But let me say, not only do we see that the characteristic is one of perseverance and devotion to duty and honor, unashamed of being called a soldier, but number 4, I want you to see that it is a characteristic of integrity. This is an uncompromising stand on the Word of God. Notice verse 5. He gives the illustration here right into talking about a soldier. And Paul is going to say now, he's going to bring up the point here. "And if a man also strive," that word is actually struggle, fight, "for masteries." That's the accomplish in the context of a runner, the way a person would prepare and train and succeed in a race. It says, "Yet is he not crowned?" He doesn't win unless, except, he strive or struggle or fight lawfully. This has the idea of the integrity of the soldier. There are a lot of Christians, unfortunately, that are looking for shortcuts. Can I fill you in on a truth in case you don't know yet? There are no shortcuts to success in the Christian life. Does not exist. If anybody tells you that you can just follow this formula, follow these steps, and you will find success, don't believe it. There is no formula, my friends. There is only submission to Christ and allowing Him to govern you and me by His holy word. It is to go and serve Him by His truth. It is to strive lawfully. I remember that same company commander that was pacing back and forth. He went on to say this as well. I remember making his, it may not be word perfect, but it was something like this. He said, "You will be required to meet every standard before leaving this place." But I'm thankful that he didn't stop there. Listen to the second part he said. He said, "You will be required to meet every standard, and listen, we will assist you in meeting those standards." By way of spiritual application, church, that's exactly what God has called us to do. I am requiring you to obey me lawfully. No shortcuts. The Word of God, you submit to me. And He says, I will come and assist you and live through you these very commandments. I will empower you. I will give you the comfort. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the clarity. I'll give you the guidance. I will give you exactly what you need to be the soldier I'm calling you to be. And no Christian out there can say, well, I just am not prepared. I just don't have enough. I can't do it. No, my friends, it is the will of God for us to be people of integrity, not to take a shortcut here and there and not to leave out this truth. But no, it is to follow it wholeheartedly, allowing God to give us the power to do it. Maybe you've heard of the runner, the famous runner who went on to be a missionary, Eric Liddell. As a member of the British Olympic team for the 1924 Paris Olympic Games, he refused to run in the qualifying heats because they were held on Sunday, with the consequence that he was forced to withdraw from his best event, the 100-meter race. He would go on to be a missionary in China, and he was placed in that time during when Japanese took control of that particular city where he was working as a missionary. He was placed in an internment camp where he would live out his last days on earth. You say, what has that got to do with anything, with integrity? Well, you see, Eric Liddell, his life of integrity started way before he got onto the mission field in China. He made a decision long before that, you know, I'm a runner. I know God's gifted me. I love it. And you can read his biography and know that he loved running track. And he was really good at it, obviously winning the gold in the 400 meter. But nevertheless, he made a decision that my heart has to first be set on Christ in everything I do. He is number one. And I am going to put him before anything. And he caught a lot of persecution for that decision. He was looked down upon, but he did go forward and help in other places and win the gold for his team. But that was one area he would not make a compromise. And you know that followed him all the way to the mission field. In fact, when they put him in that Japanese internment camp where he was being held, Winston Churchill actually secured his freedom, and there was going to be a prisoner swap of some sort. And at that time, Eric Liddell made this decision. There was also a pregnant woman that was being held captive as well. And he said, no, I would much rather this lady and this unborn child be set free. And that's exactly what happened. And then just months later, he died in prison. There was mild nourishment there, but what they believe was the cause of his death was a brain tumor. But that was his heart. He was a one of integrity. He said, just do right. And if I could just echo a call out here to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever it takes, decide in your life, I'm just going to do right until the stars fall, as Bob Jones used to say. I'm going to do right. Be a man and woman of integrity, no matter what the world throws at us. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You say, you get fired up, Pastor. Well, listen, we need to take this seriously. And many soldiers are AWOL today because they just don't want to do right. I like what Eric Liddell said in this quote. He said, many of us are missing something in life because we are after the second best. He says, I put before you what I have found to be the best. One who is worthy of all devotion, Jesus Christ. He is the Savior for the young and the old. Lord, here am I. End quote. That was a soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are today, member of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. I don't know where exactly you are today, perhaps as a guest to our church. But are you serving as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? What kind of soldier are you? I want to leave you with this thought. Be a good soldier. Be a good soldier. God will use you to change this world for His glory. He will use you. He will use me. And all our weaknesses, and all our failures, and all our shortcomings, He will use you and me. Let's pray.